Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Hip Hop National.
All right, welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic. I want to wish everybody Merry Christmas, and I want to tell everyone to enjoy, be safe, and stay blessed. Remember, Jesus is the reason behind the season. All right, guys, I want you guys to enjoy tonight's broadcast. It is a rebroadcast, but it might be one that you might be interested in hearing. It is Language and Marketability. Again, Merry Christmas.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight is going to be another great night right here on the show. But before we get started, let's cover the show like we always do. Lord, let's pray today for a better tomorrow. For time is passing between the minutes and hours. Life on earth may be short, so listen, God's children, and give this some thought. For today we live, tomorrow is not promised. So let's take the practice God's word upon us and use it as a daily digestion. For it is our hope and only protection. So together today, if we may, let's take a moment out to our knees to pray that God will make tomorrow a much better day. Lord, we ask that you cover every ear and every mind that is tuning into Hip Hop National, and ask them to and we ask that you anoint them as they go into the marketplace to reach out into this music industry to grow accordingly. We ask you this in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen. Guys, we cover the show because we think it's a process. We think that, you know, that this is a gift that's granted to us. And in order to be recognized for the gifts that we have, we must give proper due to the person who or the entity that's given it to us. But I can't put that pressure on you guys. That's just something we do right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Anyway, tonight we're talking about language and marketability. What do they have in common? And we would say language has something to come in common in everything that we do. But you have appropriate language and you have inappropriate language. And in some scenes, it works, and some scenes it don't. You got to know when to take a part into that and know when to take it to, you know, when to choose to do it and not to do it. And tonight, that's what we'll be talking about, but we'll get further into deeper topics as we tear this pop topic apart tonight. I got DJ Nate on deck with me tonight. DJ Nate, welcome to Hip Hop National.
Thank you guys for having me.
DJ Nate, tell us a little bit. Tell us about yourself, where you're calling in from, and give us a brief background of your experience in this industry.
All right. Calling in from Fort Lauderdale, Florida here. This is the party capital of the world. If you don't already know Florida and Miami, that's just how it is. So it's something we see on a daily basis. Been a mobile DJ now for about 8 years, former president of a bunch of different associations and things like that for DJs, making sure that this industry is looked at as a professional one. And one of our biggest challenges that we've had in the last 5-6 years or so is the music itself. And it's not even playing it anymore. It's just it's just knowing when to play and where I'm allowed to play. And, you know, there's just so much new music coming out. And a lot of it's good, and, you know, but a lot of it isn't. And, you know, it's not what we like. It's what, you know, it's what the youth likes. It's what the adults like. And that's what we got to remember we're playing for is the youth and the future of tomorrow. And they're picking up on all this crazy language and all these suggestive songs. There's not one song out there anymore that isn't somewhat sexually suggestive or drug-related or violent-related or F this or B that and every other word in the song. And it's just, it makes it hard for us, the professional DJs, to play for your kids to make them happy, but at the same time make you happy.
There you left us with a mouthful. That was a great opening statement. So, based on what you're saying, that, you know, there's two sides of the coin. For you, your level of operation in this industry is among what age range?
I mean, I would say my clientele starts from the elementary school where they have DJs for, you know, their after school programs or their release stages. So you're talking about, you know, ages five and up. And, you know, all these kids listen to the same radio station now, whether we like it or not, and they all know what's going on. About these kids are smart these days. They got smartphones and smart computers, and they're just smart.
It's true. And the thing it is, that is a market. So parents, you tell me, do you think parents are the ones that's responsible for buying music today, or is it the children?
Oh, absolutely not the parents. I think if the parents had any real knowledge of what was going on in most of the music today, they would go crazy. However, the parents have become very out of touch with the modern-day music because it's so different than what they grew up with. It's a complete 180. So instead of, you know, trying to zone in on what the issue is with the music that their kids are listening to, it's almost like an unwinnable battle. You know, the kid's going to leave the house, going to go to school. He's going to hear it on YouTube. He's going to hear it from his friends. He's going to hear it on the radio on the way to school. There's really no getting away from it. So I wouldn't say it's the parents. I'd say, you know, it's just the kids look up to these artists. These are their role models, just like the little kid will look up at the football player. These are their role models. And when the football player does drugs, kids want to do drugs. When the football player, you know, beats his wife, the kid's going to grow up and beat his wife. It's the same with the music. These are looking up to these idols. They want to be like them when they grow up.
Okay. So your suggestion is that the influence in which we bring to the table is very suggestive, and 9 times out of 10, because the kids got a young mind, that it places a major influence on their thinking pattern. That's what you're saying.
Oh yeah.
From your perspective. I'm going to bring
my
Shanit has joined us. Shanit, welcome to Hip Hop National. You now have the floor.
Good evening. Good evening. I am really coming in, but what I've heard, if you're speaking of music and industry and how it influenced children, is this correct?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about the language. Do you think it's a barrier to market ability of a song today?
Almost definitely. You know, of course, there are some artists who definitely agree that, you know, what they're selling, the B word has to be interpreted into their language, because in their perspective, before they made that music, they're only reaching out to a certain broad of listeners who they know are going to buy that record. You know, if it's hard rap, and in my house, you know, I have a 20-year-old, and in my house, we did not listen to hard rap. Now, I love rap music, but my focus of rap music was like Will Smith. I like clean cut. But, you know, and not saying that I understand, but as an artist, if you're in a certain degree of an industry, you're putting out to the people you wanted to put out with. And true enough, if you're hardcore rap to where, you know, you use the B word, you use the N word, you know, you degrade women, well, you're not trying to reach the market of people who are Will Smith people or people who want smooth music. That's not who you're trying to reach. So really you don't care if you're not reaching them because it's not your clientele. Now, is my daughter and I had just had this conversation where, you know, we're riding on the road and the White Pony came on. And I was moving and jamming to the White Pony, and she was like, Mom, I know what that means. You know, and here she didn't grow up listening to White Pony. But, you know, she said, oh, my gosh, she said, you like that? Now, I've always tried to role model in front of my daughter. If I did not, and the music I didn't want my daughter to listen to, she didn't go out and buy it because it didn't come in our house. And it wasn't going to be her CD. Because, see, I was the kind of mother that showed up at school unannounced, and I checked my daughter's locker. I would check to see what music she was listening to in her CD. So, you know, I'm grooving to it, and she says, oh, my God. She said, you listen to that? She said, do you not know what White Pony means? And I said, well, what do you know about White Pony? She said, they had played it at a party she was at. And her friends defined to it what it was. So I kind of, you know, shot myself back in the mouth or whatever. But I said, but it wasn't like the music that's out there now. You know, that was, I guess, a clean cut of a naughty version of something. But, you know, it's definitely, because I don't listen to it, I wouldn't buy it. It doesn't, it's not for me to buy it. So it's not for me to listen to it because it doesn't mainstream me. But if I was an artist who that's what I want to do because that music sells, that's what they think they have to do. Do I agree with it? Absolutely not. But I know my daughter's going to listen to it if I was listening to that. But as a parent, you know, because we kind of wonder, why do some people like country music? Because they grew up with it. They heard it in their house. So you as a parent are the role model as to what kind of music your child is first listening to. You know, even though they may go out in school and hear their friends listening to it, well, I don't know. To me as a parent, my thing is if you teach your child what's right, what's wrong, they still may veer out to the left, but if you've had good role models, they're going to come back to the right side. So my daughter had a J. Cole, and she had the uncut version, and I said, what are you doing with this J. Cole uncut version in the car? Granted, she's 19 by now. And she says to me, but I don't say the words, I bleep them out. I said, but you're listening to them. She said, well, I like the beat. I said, but you're listening to the words. Well, the CD's not in the car anymore. You know, she chooses to know she's not going to listen to it with me in it. But
DJ Nick, what's your thoughts on that?
I'm in agreement with her, and I'll take it one step further. Like I say, as a mobile DJ, where I'm playing to these kids a lot of the times, not only adults, you know, but you know, if you're in the clubs, that's one thing because the kids aren't allowed in the clubs. But we have it's gotten so crazy to the point where there is an actual list that's put out to all the schools nowadays, the do not playlist. And I would say just about every song these kids want to hear from the radio is on that do not playlist. Now, yeah, we have all the clean stuff, but it's still suggestive. And even if it's clean, the kids know it, and they'll say that word as loud as they possibly can just because they're kids and it's the cool thing to do. I remember my first dirty CD. It was a Dr. Dre CD. I brought it home, and my dad heard it. It was a Frisbee a minute later. And ever since then, you know, I realized I don't need to hear those words in the song. And the reason I feel that way is because you can't be sitting in the car, like she mentioned, and sing along to these songs. They're not songs you sing along to. You can't put your headphones in and walk down the street and, you know, sing along happily without offending somebody. It's just language is crazy.
But do you think the beat is what entices a lot of people? Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I really don't listen to the words, I listen to the beat?
I think that's an excuse. I mean, Will Smith had an awesome beat. Michael Jackson had an awesome beat. Never once did they say, you know, B's and O's and all that stuff to sell records. They didn't have to.
Right.
Yeah, but that defines that's in lyrical content. But really, today, I gotta ask you guys: do you think kids really care about what kind of words you can put into a song, or does those words sound hot to me?
I don't think they care either way.
Is it a fly word? is it a fly word? Does it click with my click? You know, is it what's going to make me cool or sound cool when I reuse it?
Oh, definitely. You know, I am, oops, give me a second, my age. I was born in the late 60s, and the school I was in was a rural school, so it was mostly predominantly 95% white, 5% black. And then we got bused. They tore that school down. We got bused to the city, and we were around lots of black people. I mean, I was like in hog heaven. And I got entwined with a lot of things that I didn't see in the country because I'm a country girl. And cursing was like the big thing. I mean, it was like the it thing, and I started cursing. Now, it still amazed me to how I could turn it off the minute I came home. But I was always afraid I was going to blurt something out. But it was cool to curse. You know, it was cool to curse. You know, it wasn't like a lot of extremely rough cursing, but you know, the S's and the, you know, it was cool. Never the B word, but it was just cool to say, you know, the little bitty words and everything. And so it was. It's cool to be in that gang of people who did it. You know, like how people just say, you know, oh my, you know, in or whatever. I never did that because I never said words that were degrading to me. But the three little letter words, that was cool. It was, yeah. So some kids, you know, of course I've heard it, you know, in little. But what really disturbs me is hearing little six-year-olds, you know, when they moving and rocking and sing the songs to where, you know, their parents have not taught them because they're listening to their parents and they're singing how it's cool for them and it's cool in the video to rock their hands and, you know, maybe do a gesture with the word. And that's an imitation of a cool thing. You know, I have 3 or 4-year-olds that were in the car, and again, they said, "Oh, we don't say that word." So when it came to a profanity word, they stopped, and then they kept on with the music. Now that just blows me away because my whole theory is, if you're thinking it, you're still singing it. You're saying it in your mind.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt.
And then they get to middle school and they don't hesitate to say it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely not.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. If you can think it, it's definitely on the tip of your mind. I mean, you might not say it in front of our face, but, hey, you're saying it. And, I mean, reality, if you're that quick in response in not saying it, imagine how good and professional they are in saying it when time is appropriate for them. Now, as far as language is concerned, in what other places, and I'm going to start with you, DJ Nate, what places do you see that we're probably missing the boat on as far as marketing ourselves as musicians by using inappropriate language?
Well, because of all the inappropriate language in the songs, there's something had to happen, and that meant a clean version of every song had to be released. Whether it had to be released by the artist or by a record company that cleans up the song as a service, either way it had to get done. That being said, I the other caller says, you know, she doesn't want that stuff in her house. Well, I wouldn't want that stuff in my house either, so I wouldn't buy it, but now I have to go buy the clean version, or the less suggestive version. And I really don't think that, you know, we're getting all the. I don't really think we're hitting all the points by just getting the clean version, because, you know, leading up to those lines, those kids know what the real line is, or know what the real meaning is behind it. So I think a lot of times these artists are, you know, they're coming out with these things, which, you know, in turn, just turn a lot of people off from buying it, which is why I think we have such a huge, I don't want to say generation, I'll say, you know, music interest gap between, you know, those that are between 15 and 30 and those that are, you know, between 30 and 50. It's like a whole nother world.
Correct. So, I mean, I know language, the language is appropriate in some scenes, such as when you go to a club. I mean, it's really what gets a party popping a lot sometimes when they
sure.
go there, you know, and then you got
sure.
everybody running to the dance floor because my favorite song just came on. And then when you see it, the thing it is, you see everybody motion the words. You see everybody say it, even though the DJ may stop the tune, everybody's saying what was said. Even
mm-hmm.
so, it's almost like an automatic. It's automatic programming. You're gonna
mm-hmm.
say it based on you already know.
Right.
Like you were saying, DJ Nate, you already know that that it's already projected to be there. You know what I mean? So
it's just been ingrained in us for so long; it's just become acceptable.
But my question is the language? The inappropriate language, explicit lyrics, is it hindering the sale of music?
Do you think? So?
Yeah, coming from you.
It doesn't hinder the sale of the music. What it does is it makes it more difficult to obtain for certain clienteles. Like if you wanted to open up a restaurant and you wanted to, you know, play a CD all day without commercials, you would have to go out and pay extra money to that artist for a clean version of everything. Or you might not go that extra mile, and, you know, you might play something, and, you know, this little kid having their happy meal hears the F word over the radio and then repeats it the next sentence, and then someone's looking at a lawsuit. So, I don't know. I think that, you know, the music can do without, but I, like you say, there's definitely a scene for it. In the club, you know, there's a scene for it. If you want to watch a porno, you go in privacy and you do that. But that doesn't come
mm-hmm.
out into the open, into the open market, into the children, into the schools, into the radio. You know, radio is radio. You tune in and there you are. You don't need an ID to listen to the radio, you know, to prove your age.
But today, radio is very risque. Very risky.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think actually the radio has really embraced it heavily. Now, the thing it is, it makes everyone else who trying to put out positive lyrics, be honest with you, positive lyrics is pretty much been put on the shelf, bro. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They yeah,
make fun of them all day long. You know, Justin Bieber, One Direction, you know, they're fantastic artists. But, you know, they're put to the wayside just because they're not fitting the style of the radio stations that have adapted, you know, the style of the current music.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, go ahead, Shanique.
Okay, I'm 45, and my boyfriend, the time I was dating, he was 25. So when we were in Atlanta, you know, we had to come to a medium of where we wanted to go out. So, you know, we chose to go at first to an older, and it was like a 30-something club. And just by listening of what you say about, you know, how you have to buy the music, how you have to kind of go out of the way to buy the clean-cut version of the music. So, you know, we were dancing to the song, and the music came on. And like you said, everybody got up and went to the dance club. I mean, everybody got up and went to the dance club. I did not know that there was an uncut version until that same night we went to his club that he wanted to go to. The same song came on, and it blew me away when everybody on his dance floor, and when the music stopped, and they said that curse word, and it's like all these, you know, people not my age or younger than me were like, you know, just saying the song, and it blew me away. I mean, the energy was still high in both of the clubs, but it just went like on a rampage, you know, and they said at one particular line, you know, and it was about, you know, the B word line or whatever. And it's like, and it was like totally uncut. And I told him, I said, I didn't know they made that song like that. He's like, yeah. He said, yeah, usually, you know, he said, usually our artists like this have a clean, he said, you know, when, and his comment to me was, we're not at the clean cut, we're not at the clean cut club anymore. So, and it just, to what, and I didn't know, you know, because like I said, a lot of my former music is cleaner cuts, and I had no idea. But when I look back on the artist, you know, I had to think, well, why wouldn't I think he would make something like that? But I didn't know until that particular moment, like 2 hours later. And the energy, like I said, it was wild. Just that one, those two lyrics that he would say over and over and over, it just made the club and the audience go even more over the edge. So it does give them hype. But then again, would I ever go back to that club? No. Do I still date that guy? Absolutely not. So.
Do you think the crowd would have gotten just as hype as if that song was originally produced the way you heard it? Or do you think just because it was produced in two different formats, when somebody heard the version that they wouldn't normally hear on the radio, it caused that hype to...
Shanique, that was for you.
Oh, was it for me? Oh, I'm sorry. Like, again, you have to look at the first club was, you know, Dirty 30. So we were older. You know, I think, you know, maybe a lot of us have went through that phase and settled down. You know, but still at 45, I was not, you know, a rocking chair kind of woman or whatever. So the age of the second place where I was at, it was younger. And so, and my whole mindset is it was just a younger generation still experiencing that kind of ego hype and ego thing or whatever. Now, do I think the music would still sell? Yeah, I think if it was to that audience, if it was not the uncut version, because like a lot of people say, they like the beat of the music. You know, it's all about the beat that goes on. And
the beat would change. Well, like, what I'm saying is, like, when, you know, Wild Things, Tone Loc came out, you know, a while ago. And it that was the one record, and everybody loved it, and everybody got crazy to it. And that was the only version of it ever released. And people enjoyed it for what it was. Do you think if they went back and added a bunch of F-bombs to it, the people would enjoy it more?
Well, then, no. No, I changed it.
That's what I'm getting at.
All right, guys. We're getting down to the bottom of the hour. This is where we take just a little short break so we can pay the bills. But before we do that, I just want to tell our audience, anybody who's listening in from their computer or listening in about other means, you can call in at 213-559-2995. Again, that number is 213-559-2995. We would love to hear from you, love for you to join in on to the topic. All you have to do is press the number 1, and that will highlight your number, and I would know that you would want to speak. DJ Nate and Shanique, I'm asking that you both press the number 1 as of right now. That way it will highlight your number and take your number to the top as well. Because right now you are not in the number one, the spot where if when the callers do start to do it, that you're being recognized. Shanique, press number 1 more time. I'm sorry. Okay, guys, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight, again, we're talking about language and marketability. What do they have in common? And we got DJ Nate and Shanique tearing this topic apart with us, and we're looking forward to hearing from more of you in a minute. We'll be back in just a moment. Again, like I say, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. This part is sponsored in part by Live Lime Records. This is OJL with Rising. That's the name of the tune.
No, them again.
Yeah.
I remember when me just starting, them tell me song no make no sense and sound and all you know. I never let my mind get me down, I always keep my focus and keep on doing my thing now. Time passed by and me improved, my biggest motivation was a big boo. I know you are my dead but me forgive you, yeah me want to live too. Thanks to all the fans them who believe in me, and even ones who love me yet them leaving me. Me know you are my boss, hey. When fans and you my call, now I tears the dream of me a boss. Them say me not reach nowhere, but look where I am now. Say me not reach nowhere, but me hold me head up high. Them say me not reach nowhere, again. Friends change like the weather. Pick up rhythm vibes, my brother. Them say we useless when we little and poor. Now we got with things. Them I call we brother. But them not really know how hungry feel. Sunday I come in now a sun can meal. Them not really know how hungry feel. But mommy never let we go a bed without a meal. Me aim to the moon because the limit is the sky. And even if I fall, me can't sit down, no me to try. Right now me feel blessed because me have my wings to fly. Fly, them say me not reach nowhere, but look where I am now. Say me not reach nowhere, but me hold me head up high. Them say me not reach nowhere, King of Passion, Santa, Felisa, baby.
You've got 5 minutes? I've got that celebrity interview. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, host of the Valder Beebe Show. Join me daily for my new brand, That Celebrity Interview. I get the opportunity to chat with the world's most fascinating people. I interview actors and directors and entertainers, celebrities, and everyday people on important topics and issues and life-changing causes. My interviews are authentic, revealing, and personal with my guests who are in a 21st century mode. They're either in studio, by phone, satellite, or in exotic locations. I've interviewed people in Istanbul, Israel, London, all across the globe. Tune in daily to That Celebrity Interview. Go to ValderBeebeShow.com for broadcast locations of That Celebrity Interview. I'll see you there.
Hip Hop National Radio has changed its hours of operation to better serve you. We are now on from 5 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 p.m. on the East Coast. With this new exciting change also comes new and exciting opportunities. So look out and look for what's in store for you. That's right, Hip Hop National Radio is looking out for you, our listening audience. We will be giving away gift cards, prizes, and more. So tune in now for your chance to win, to join us in our chat room. Log on now to blogtalkradio.com/hiphopnationalradio. To listen in by phone, dial 213-559-2995. That number again is 213-559-2995. Loyalty is royalty. And remember, you cannot win if you're not locked in and listening. We're Hip Hop National Radio, your music industry information resource provider.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion. Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3 today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist's name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
All right, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy, Poetic, and tonight we're talking about language and marketability. What do they have in common? Well, they have a lot in common. If you use a certain language, let's just say an appropriate language, as in the sense of marketing your lyrical base, this is what some of the things that you can probably take advantage of. Commercials on television, they play music in the background. Movies, they play music in the background. You have Starbucks, McDonald's, concert halls. A lot of venues plays music. They even play music outside in city events. Well, they're not going to play music if the F-bomb is the first thing that they're going to hear from the song. The problem is what's beginning to take place is they are not trusting us. It's a trust factor. They don't know what's going to come out of our mouth. And I believe personally that it is affecting the music in some sort of way. So, with that said, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to start you off with, we'll start it off with Shanit this time. Shanit, and before I ask that, anyone want to ask a question or want to chime in on the topic, please call in at 213-559-2995. Again, that number is 213-559-2995. And you just press the number 1, and that will let us know that you are wanting to speak. Shanit, I'm going to ask you, when it comes to marketability, as what we're talking about tonight, and the language appropriation, do you believe in some sense or the word that it's a trust factor today, that venues won't play us or will play us because of trust? That, do you think trust have anything to do with it? That's just my opinion. What's yours?
I would have to be biased in one side, yes, say absolutely yes. I think it's, you know, it could be the double standard of where they want to play our music, but they don't want to defend other people with playing our music. And when I say our music, I'm just speaking of not our music, because it's not typically music I listen to, but let's say, you know, they want to play music to where they feel like they're reaching a broader spectrum of people. And they want to put the trust in saying, you know, we're trying to be, you know, more of a, you know, diverse, like Starburst, you know, we just don't want people to saying, oh, you know, they're just playing like, you know, the rock music, or they're just playing the low-key oldies and goodies music. And they may want to say, well, we want to, but your music is so graphic that people listen, and it may distract people from wanting to come in here because of it. I mean, I've been in some restaurants to where I couldn't sit and eat there because the music absolutely annoyed me, and I could not. It's like it's just a place where I couldn't dine. And, you know, just the type of person that I am, I went and asked the manager if they could play a different variety of music, because that music absolutely annoyed me. And when I look around, there was just a diversity of people in the restaurant. So my thing is, why play one set of music that you think everybody's going to like?
What type of music was that, by the way?
It was more of the kind of like Elevator. It was a crossbreed between Elevator and smooth rock. You know, not hard rock, but you know,
well,
like smooth rock.
Okay, I'll give my opinion of that in a few minutes. DJ Nate, same question.
Yes.
To you, what I just asked her. Do you think it's becoming a trust factor for us today?
As far as are we trusted to
that? Okay, let's say like when we go out to for performances and being hired for
mm-hmm.
performances, or even the music being played in a cart. Like I'm gonna give you guys a prime example. I was in Starbucks one day, and
mm-hmm.
the girls that's behind it. I know the people behind the counter. We're like family there. So, but the situation was they were playing some music from their iPod. They plugged it
right.
in, and they these are two separate instances, by the way. Two separate instances. One was you had Kanye West on there, and the N word, he dropped the N bomb. Then another one with Eminem, and he dropped the F bomb. Now, you know what? Do you know what took place when they did that?
No.
I can tell you. They ran in the back, unplugged their iPod, and
yeah, well, that's what they should have done.
Okay, but the point is the previous song before that was like vibing, and then all of a sudden, boom, that comes out.
Right.
This is in a public environment. Public environment.
Well, that's just it. Unless people take the time to obtain the clean versions of these songs, you know, there is no safe bet, and that's why like. I submit to a record pool where I don't have to worry about that. I pay for a service where I know for a fact that I'm getting the clean tracks. I don't have time to listen to every single song that comes out every minute of every day nowadays. You know, everybody's an artist. It's just there's too much new music too often. To dissect it, every single song, it's just there's not enough hours in a day. Because of that, you know, there are clean versions available, but when people just throw, you know, songs on their iPod real fast, unfortunately, you know, we get what you experience, and, you know, it is a trust thing. We don't know what these people are going to go out and do when they step on stage or when, you know, we're in a public place. We don't know what to expect. A good example was the Super Bowl. I mean, no words had to be said when, you know, Maya, you know, flipped the bird to everybody on national television just because that's the way her music style is. That was watched by millions of people all ages. And, you know, was it appropriate? Absolutely not. Was it accepted? Unfortunately, I think it was. And I think that's wrong.
Don't get me wrong, but I think our world has had a paradigm shift when it comes to what's accepted and what's not. I mean, it was a time when you wouldn't hear the B word, period, on radio. Now you hear it all over the air.
Mm-hmm.
Now
the FCC allows the B word. It's okay to say that now on the radio.
Yeah, and you get. Yeah, I mean, ASS. It's just some of the things that said. You it's almost unbelievable. But yet, okay, and that's commercial radio. So
mm-hmm.
money, and as we know, commercial radio is a money power entity. So
right.
if that's the case, when music is being played on there, evidently it's creating numbers and people are getting paid for it. So if people are getting paid for it, it's going to continuously get recreated, correct?
Correct.
Sure.
Okay. So we all agree there. But
yeah.
In other markets, to me, radio, this is just my opinion again, radio is short-term money. I'll tell you why. You got a lot of one-hit wonders that hit it, boom, and they here today and they're gone tomorrow. Long-term money is when it's in movies and it's being played over and over, when it's on commercials and the commercials continuously using it and pulling it as a resource, as a background to their sound to make the scene. Long-term money sits in the Starbucks that's continuously playing it all throughout the country in every Starbucks, McDonald's, every elevator that's being played somewhere. To me, that's the boat that we're missing, and I think, that's just my opinion again, the language is, because of the language that we put in, I think personally we're missing a mark here that everybody don't make it famous in this industry. And a lot of times when you're in those Starbucks and you're in those McDonald's, you don't even know who the artist is. 9 times out of 10, you probably won't even connect with them. But sure, it's being played on a cycle because it's good music.
Well, I don't know if it's good music or it's just the music that's selling.
Well, that's
the
most accepted.
Most accepted.
Yeah.
Most accepted, but the problem is, I mean, the radio stations choose, you know, what music they want to make popular. And then they play it and play until the song is just dead. Well, I've heard these people, they have kids too. I mean, you know, the song, you know, I Want to Love You, Akon, is not originally I Want to Love You. So what makes them make a song that even remotely says that? They know right off the bat that, you know, most people are going to be extremely offended by this. So I don't know if it's a numbers game where they get to make double the money by having a clean version out too, or it's just blatant, who cares? I mean, these people are making music that they wouldn't want their own kids listening to, and that doesn't make sense to me.
All right, we're going to bring in a caller, 804-898. Please state your name, where you're calling in from, and what's your thoughts on the topic tonight? Language and marketability, what do they have in common?
Hi, good evening. My name is Ty, and I'm calling from Savannah, Georgia. I just caught the tail end of the conversation, but I feel like nowadays that commonly, it's just the B word is just used just so common, it's everyday language, especially with these kids nowadays.
It's all on TV.
Yeah, it's on TV, it's on the radio. I mean, it's used in everyday conversation, so it's considered the norm. I feel like, you know, we need to have the old school traditional, you know, values. And plus, nowadays, sex sells. So that's just the bottom line. And it's all about...
Not only does sex sell, it seems like it's beginning to sell. The language is somewhat beginning to sell our people too, to sell everybody as well. Because honestly, words that's been accepted by the FCC, I'm talking the FCC, it, to me, it's incredible what has passed through, and that's just my opinion.
Okay.
Ty, thank you for calling in. You gonna stay with us?
Sure.
Ty, tell us a little bit about you. What is it that you do?
I just actually moved from Charlotte, North Carolina. I know I have an 80 number, but I actually lived in Virginia Beach, actually, for a while.
What do you do for the industry?
Well, I actually worked in a laboratory, but it's been a minute. I've been married for like 21 years, and I actually just ended my marriage.
Okay. I just wanted to know what I wanted to get from you is: were you experienced in this industry, and why did you call in based on this topic? That's what I was wanting to see.
To be honest with you, a friend of mine who actually lives in Charlotte asked me to chime in That's what I said. Okay. I just caught the tail end of the conversation.
Awesome.
So I'm new to this, so I'm just, you know, just trying to fill it out.
Oh, well, I hope you stay with us. I hope you begin to enjoy what we're doing here, and that you would turn others on to what this movement is about. What we do here at Hip Hop National is we teach the business of music in every aspect that we possibly can, and we poke holes in thoughts that may have plagued someone's mind about something that goes with this industry. It don't only come from me. It comes from questions pretty much sometimes that's proposed by those who come onto our program. So what we want to do is try to poke holes in it as much as we can so we can guide our youth into making the right decision and when they go out to market themselves. And we want to be that platform in which that they can come on and advertise themselves to do so.
Right, but let me ask you this. Do you think that maybe perhaps it's got to start in the home? You know, because sometimes...
When it comes to language?
Well, sure. Absolutely. Because, you know...
I can say this. You can be the preacher's, and don't get me wrong, you can be the preacher's child. It may start at home, but there's an uncontrolled variable that we're up against today as parents that our parents didn't have at all. And I'm going to tell you, one is the public school system. Two is the disciplinary actions that's taken now in school that they will not go back to, which was capital punishment in a sense, you know. And then the other part is we have the internet. This stuff is readily available. I don't care. I mean, from porn to explicit lyrics, we can't hide it from our children. And the thing it is, you may be the preacher's child, but you're exposed to it. It's really, you can tell that kid as much as you want, but that don't mean you're going to change the mindset of the child because of the other influences that's around them. But you can. I really think it could start in the home because, I mean, it started in mine. But I personally lost some control on some of it, and that's the truth.
Yeah,
now,
but at the same token, I feel like there's still a baseline.
One at a time. I'm going to go through. Okay, who's talking now? Is that you, Shanique?
Go ahead, Shanique. Okay, like me, okay, when I first started doing my poetry, and next month I plan on cutting the CD, and, I mean, I've mellowed out more than I used to do, and the thing about it is when I first started, I had some uncut lyrics, and because, you know, in the poet society, there are certain words that are just cliche words, you know, but still the B word I don't use in any of my poetry. Now, and I learned that I didn't want to be a one kind of poet. I didn't want you to define me as just one kind of poet, and I would throw just different topics out. So you never knew what Shanique was going to say when she came to the stage. But this one hot spot I kept going to, I noticed that when it came to us performing, I was either the opening for this one chick who was an extremely explicit sexual poet, or either she came after me. So either I warmed her up or she got it hotter after me. So, and I was in a dilemma to where I was thinking, okay, some of the stuff that I'm saying, what I want my daughter to hear, she comes to hear me say it, or my mom, or if my daughter did come, some of the stuff I didn't perform. And then one day when she did come, I said, I'm letting you know now, daughter, you know, there's going to be some stuff that, you know, you may not be used to. But still, I had to come to my soul and realize, okay, people are going to see you in two different spectrums. So I have to kind of wonder, when we're still talking about the uncut versus the cut, should you be an artist that simply says, I'm not trying to make two people happy? You know, you want to sell, it's like you really want to sell that record. You're trying to sell it to everybody to make everybody happy. You still want to sell it to the uncut people, but then you want to sell it to the explicit people. So I had to define in me what kind of poet do I really want to be. you know, I want to put something out there to where if my mom listens to it, I want her to be proud of me and listen to it. You know, I don't want my daughter to be ashamed of it as to what I was doing. So I've went from, it's like a sexual sensual poet, to where I may say some stuff that gives you the illusion of what I may be thinking without me saying it. So I think when we got back to where you're saying, does the industry want to trust us? I particularly think you should be the kind of artist who says you're hardcore or you're not hardcore. You know, to where, like, if I say I'm listening to Will Smith rap, well, we know Will Smith wasn't hard rap. But if I'm saying I'm listening to J. Cole, well, I listen to the uncut version of J. Cole. And so I put the CD player in my radio that day, and I was like, oh, like I said, oh, my goodness. Now, me and my girlfriend, when we met up one night, we were cruising to that CD. And so it was still in my car. And when my daughter, when we got in the car, she was like, oh, my gosh, why do you have my CD in your radio? And I was like, oh, this is what me and my girl listened to on the day going to the club. We had the windows down, the top down road. Now, she was blown away that her 45-year-old mother is listening to a 20-year-old CD. She couldn't understand why we both were on that same kind of, you know. And there were certain words in that song that got us pumped up even more before we rode up into the club, and how people were looking at us. We wanted that attention. Yes, we did. So what do you do? What do you want to be? Do you want to be, what kind of performer do you want to be? And who you're trying to sell to? You're trying to make everybody happy. What sells more?
Mm-hmm. Nate, what's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, when another caller came on, she said that, you know, people just got used to it. People just got, you know, accepting of it, and now it's just normal. I mean, with that kind of mentality, to me, you know, pretty soon, you know, shootings in schools are just going to be normal. They're just going to be accepted.
And
you know,
I
got
to tell you what they're
about.
Saying in the chat room here. In the chat room, I hope I said it right. Hold. I may be wrong. Churro Hold. Says that unfortunate mental block that keeps our music full of vulgarities and obscenities is the same one that keeps us in the hood. In my honest opinion, it's a sword sharpened on the blade and the handle. So, coming from the chat room, they echoing kind of pretty much the same thing. What you just said,
yeah,
there,
just,
DJ
actually,
Nate. I'm going to bring in this caller, 212-29-364. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. Please tell us where you're calling in from, and tell us your name.
My name is John Lowe. I'm calling from Sherman, Georgia.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's a great topic tonight, because the theme wrong now is that life is holding us hostage with this different language and material, how they market things now. There's no strength and there's no self-control no more. Like you made a point earlier that it's so we enslaved to our own mind of what is normal out here. And everybody's afraid to get out of their own zone, because it's going to make them look different. And that's the reason they keep making the same music and marketing it, because they're not going to make any money, because, you know, nobody want to get out of their zone. But like I say, life is holding us hostage, because this is coming for everybody in this music industry. It's to accept this kind of performance without it.
Okay.
Can I say something? You know, I'm glad you
I was coming to you. yeah, interrupt.
I have a 21-year-old daughter, and you know, she listens to a lot of the rap and hip hop. And it's funny, and the reason why I said that I believe that it starts in the home is because although that these kids are out here, I truly believe that it's a fad, for one. You know, it's just a period that, you know, they may go through that, you know, they're going to want to experience and, you know, branch out and just try different things. But the reason why I said at the very beginning as to why I believe that it starts in the home is, there was a situation with my daughter and myself was I used to listen old school, you know, the Stylistics, back when Stylistics, SOS Band, you know, just regular R&B music, you know, that something that was meaningful, New Edition. And when she first, I guess she was probably like around 15 or 16, and I said, I used to tell my daughter, I was like, you know, what's wrong with you listening to stuff like this? It's normal. You can understand it. It leads something to the imagination. And it wasn't until after she was like, oh, Mom, you know, this is so boring. You know, I don't want to hear this. I want the hardcore stuff that's going to, you know, pump me up. Now that she's going on 22, the very thing that my daughter had said was, Mom, I really appreciate that the fact that, you know, that you, you know, introduced me to that, because now that I'm a little bit older now, you know, I appreciate that. And it's actually calming and soothing for her. You know, she listens to, what's his name, Drake, and, you know, all these rappers, and, you know, and I truly believe that, you know, it does make a difference. And again, I truly believe that it does start in the home. They may, you know, stray away for a while, but, you know, if you have that strong foundation at home, I think that the kids, you know, will come back. And then they'll teach their kids.
Well, real quick question. What do you do when you send your 7-8-year-old to school and they go to the school dance and you know, the DJ is playing all these lyrics, whether they're clean or not, every song is suggestive, and now you're out of control of what your kid is hearing. They're going to come back with that train of thought back home, and they're going to bring it back home with them, and then it's just going to grow from there. I mean,
but that's to be expected. Yeah, I just feel like that's to be expected anyway, because, again, you can't shelter your kids. There are going to be plenty of experiences that we as parents won't even know about. But, you know, those
Absolutely.
Are their own experiences. But with that being said, I just feel like, you know, it gets to the point where they know that there's a comfort level, that they know that, I truly believe that you should have confidence in your kids to know that you know, the choices that they make, we may not always agree, you know, even in their choice of music and, you know, choice of in the company that they keep. But, you know, in the end, you know, they'll come back.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much the case. It has been the case. Historically, you know, we all kind of live in a cycle. Most kids do come back, and then some never come back. You can lose them.
Yeah.
You just lose them in the cycle, you know. But and prayer, you really hope that, you know, you will grab that attention. Tonight, guys, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about language and marketability. What do they have in common? And I'm going to get it from you, John, because you're just coming in. What do you think language and marketability have in common? And where do you think we're missing that today's artist is probably missing in on an element of marketing themselves?
Well, the thing is that...
Somebody's radio on. If they would turn it down, it'd be great. TV set or something. Go ahead.
Yes, the key that everybody is afraid to step out of the box and try to be a mentor and role model, because those type of things is not selling right now. And they're afraid to make that sacrifice. For the new artists trying to come in here, it's so hard. They're afraid that people will not follow them. But you're gonna have to fight against fear and doubt coming into this new era with music. If you plan on to change new style of music that probably will not get in because overwhelmed with so much violence and so many bad words. People, it's so temptation out there, so tempted out there, but people, and we need to try to be reliable and put certain music out there. People need to get united and try to market better music to the point where, because the atmosphere is just crazy now, because everybody has got hate in them. So everybody got so many problems going on in their life. People relate to this music because they understand this music. That's the bottom line. That's what they're going on in their life. They understanding all this music.
I can pretty much agree with you, but we can ready to take a short break, but when we come back, I want you guys to wrap your head on this, because something tells me that we are old school cats sitting on this phone and we have our opinion, and the young mind is saying, heck with that. That ain't cool, you know. When we come back, what's your thoughts on, do you think it's just because we've grown up, we've come to a level of maturity, and we think this is the way it's supposed to be? We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight we talk about language and marketability. What do they have in common? And I got some great guests on the line with me tonight, and we're really tearing this thing apart, and I think it's really, we're kind of getting somewhere with it. But like I say, we're old school. Is it that we've grown up, we've matured to another level, and the kids are just not there yet, and they want, because back in the days when we did something off the cut, our parents thought we were kind of whack too, and we thought they were whack. When we get back, that's what we'll be talking about. Y'all stay with us, because there's more on the other side. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, and if you want to sponsor the show, call us at 877-580-8555. Again, that number is 877-580-8555. You can get your music placed here, and you can be a sponsor of our program. We do four live interviews for you. Call in and ask us, how do you get that? That's 877-580-8555. And that's what we do. Stay with us.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's the producer extraordinaire, Mega the Man, giving a shout-out to Hip Hop National Radio, where you find out all the works of how hip hop moves. Get with the movement and tune in to Hip Hop National.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, conference call and feedback line. You're listening to the number one radio show in the world. It is Hip Hop National Radio.
Finally, there's a free online dating site for singles on the internet. At thehiphopdatingspot.com, you'll connect with singles in your own backyard and all around the world. And remember, thehiphopdatingspot.com is free to join. Get the lowdown on events and places to go, join groups and forums, or just chat with that special somebody. Check it out now. There's somebody waiting just for you at thehiphopdatingspot.com. Still here? Go to thehiphopdatingspot.com now.
Hip Hop National is now hiring interns and salespeople. Call us today at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555 for more details.
All right, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. I think one of my callers said they have to go, so I'm going to say goodbye to them. Is that you, DJ Nate? Did you just send me?
That would be me.
You said it wasn't you?
No, yeah, that would be me. I got to run.
Understand. Hey, man, thank you. We enjoyed having you. Hope you come back again. I really appreciate you coming up with this thought tonight. You and I chopped it up a little earlier, and I think you got your point across. Appreciate you.
All
Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me. You know, somebody on my Facebook just posted, you know, another topic one day will be the content and music videos. But I'm going to leave
The content and music videos. I'm writing it down now, and it will be a topic. Okay?
All right. So, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Appreciate that. Guys, good night, DJ Nate. Thank you.
Good night.
All right. Take care. Now, Shanique, just before we went to the break, I was saying, do you think it's because of age, of maturity? Do you think we've come to a level where we've changed ourselves and it's because we're closer to the days of being parents and grandparents today, and these kids' mind is just not there yet?
I think my music has changed, but I still like all kinds of music. But as far as like what I play in my house, yeah, it's, I don't know, growing up, that it wasn't allowed in my house. So maybe like when Ty said, you know, children will venture out, you know, and change. It did a little, but not really. It's like one of those, you know, you knew growing up smoking marijuana, you weren't supposed to do, but you may have tried it when you got out. And it's just one of those things where it never evolved to be in me. It was just never my choice of music. But I like the beats of a lot of the music. I don't per se like that choice of music at all. Like, I didn't grow up listening to hard rock music. It's not my choice of music. I think children, like you said, some children may evolve and they may not. Yes, I think there will come a point to where the people who really like that now, who really think that that's absolutely necessary, they may change. But, you know, you have to think about it. There are some rappers my age who are hardcore. You know, so I think mainly it is how you were raised in the music and how you perceive that music. Now, when I look at somebody else, do I think, yes, I'm old school, but I have not forgot the music that I grew up with because I still love it. You know, I mean, I still absolutely love that music. And some of the music then, my mother, she didn't listen to, you know, because she was in the, you know, the 60s, you know, kind of music. So I think you do evolve with your age, but I'm still old school. I can still pop in, and I can still listen to my daughter's music if it's the uncut version. I mean, I can still listen to music only because I love going out, and I still love going out dancing, and I have to dance to music that makes me flow. Now, it's just, I think when you are well-rounded with music, there's certain music that you listen to where you're at. When I go out partying, I may not listen to my old school music all the time. You know, it all depends on what kind of mood I'm in. But if I'm driving, that's the music I typically listen to. I think I tell a lot of people, I ask them, I said, if something was to happen to you today, an officer had to check your CD, what's going to be in your CD player that will portray your personality?
I like that. That's a good question, actually. Yeah. We're gonna get feedback on that question, too. Ty, do you think it's the age? Do you think the level of maturity is why we think the way we do, and why kids are thinking the way they do and don't really care?
Let me say, first of all, I think the problem that I think is the issue with these kids nowadays is not so much the music, it's the behavior of what they do when they listen to the music, like violence. You know, because I think it was a caller earlier that said that the problem with a lot of these kids is, it, you know, when they listen to this music, it promotes violence. As a parent myself, I truly believe that, again, like I was saying earlier, you know, these kids, you do have some that will fall through the cracks. But I also want to say that, you know, Shanique said earlier, she was talking about, you know, as us being parents or older adults, we tend to listen to some of that stuff, but it's more so of just getting our energy up because we are old. So we need something to pump us up. But at the same token, again, it's in our behavior. It's at to what level do you carry this stuff out? And maturity does have everything to do with it. You know, what are, you know, what can we do to prevent these kids from behaving like that? I don't think that there's much other than, you know, speaking out like what we're doing now. If they listen, you know, or being attentive enough that they can listen, some will take heed and some won't. And as far as the marketing, I truly believe that it's going to get to a point, and that's where I feel like it is now, that these songs are so non-meaningful that, you know, it's almost like these kids have a certain of non-gratification that, you know, they're going to a higher level. But I think that now it's at a plateau where even marketing, selling these songs is just, you know, across the board. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's not getting anywhere. Because, you know, it's like when they talk about a person being on drugs, that they get to a certain high, and then when they no longer feel that same high, they go to the next level. So, but I think that, you know, with that being said, I think that these kids will eventually look for something more meaningful, because then they realize, you know, in life there's got to be more to than, you know, just violence and hurting and, you know, feeling nothing. So that's what I think.
Thank you. I love what you think. Hold on a second. And John, what's your thoughts to that? And do you think it's age?
Well, yes, it's age has something to do with it to a certain degree, because we all get to mature. Some people mature quicker than other people in life.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest problem is that there's just no tradition in honor nowhere in music anywhere. Not how they're putting it out there. There's just no tradition in honor. So that's how kids react to music and the beat. What they hear, they just get all wild and crazy with it. It doesn't have no more meaning. Music doesn't have no more meaning to it now. So, you know, the expectation of it is so radical and different, you know, in people, into these kids' life. They really cannot determine what matter in their life. What is the asset to them, and try to evaluate the quality of their life, try to distinguish the difference between reality and try to be realistic. But they can't determine what's real and what's not anymore in life. It's just like they did an illusion. They just can't figure out what's right, what's been taught right is wrong, and what's wrong is right in their life, because that's coming to them, because they see that every day in their life. And they hear it every day in their life, and it's programmed in their mind, and it's affected them to the point where they just cannot distinguish what's right and what's wrong anymore.
Now, question. Could we really fault the music? Or, let's say, could we fault media for what our children bring home? What our children open up, or should we take the blame and absorb it ourselves? Sign with you, Shanique.
Personally, as a parent, I do not blame the media as to what may per se happen with what my child does. You know, statistically, they're saying that some of these children who shoot up schools, you know, instead of, as parents, we don't want anybody blaming us for what our children do. But then as parents, when our children do something positive, we want all the credit, right? We want the credit then. So, you know, there was how some of the children, you know, if they watch these violent videos, you know, they've been studying them, so it's what was embedded into their mind, and they go out and act upon what they've seen, not thinking that it really wouldn't happen, which we know, you know, if you're 27 years old, you know it's going to happen. You know that it's going to happen. I don't know, I always give examples, you know, of my children where, you know, my daughter, you know, when she was young, she could, my best friend and I were just talking about this the other day, where they were 6 years old, and we went out to dinner. You know, it was candlelight, linen napkins, linen cloth table, so it was a nice, fancy dinner.
And we're waiting on our food. We're having normal conversations. And all of a sudden, our six-year-old break out in this Trojan commercial where they're singing Trojan Man, and they're doing the whole horse sound and everything. Now, okay, is it my fault as a parent because I have let my child watch this Trojan commercial, or did I not think it was embedded in her mind? Now, Everlane, these children have watched this commercial and heard it enough to where they had every line down pat. It was the hee-hee-hee Trojan Man. They had the whole line in sync. Now, my child, I mean, and it was wild. So how are you defining to a six-year-old why saying that song is not okay? No, I got to teach my
six-year-old. Is it your fault that it's on TV?
Because this is public television that, you know, the Trojan commercial was on. Now, as me as a parent, can I voice out and say that, okay, commercials like this should be on after 9 o'clock? Well, you know, sure, I may say that because, you know, certain TV shows are on after a certain hour when they think our children have went to bed, or there's a public note that comes up about this contains graphic media or whatever. Is the radio station going to say, okay, parents, warning, this radio contains music? No, they're not going to say that. So it is me as a parent that needs to control what my child is listening to. Now, when she walks out this door, am I going to control what my child is going to listen to on her children's iPod, on her friend's iPods or whatever? Maybe. But my thing is, I think if I have embedded in her enough what you shouldn't listen to, but they're still going to do what they want to do. But I think a lot of parent influence plays a big, big, big part of it. Parents, should you blame me? Should you really blame me if I'm letting my child listen to all this hardcore, hardcore? Yes, you do blame me because my 9-year-old shouldn't be listening to that music. My 5-year-old shouldn't be listening to that music. Now, if you're going to come to me and say, I'm at a conference, Miss Myers, you know your daughter on the playground, all day she's been doing is listening to this hardcore radio and singing the lyrics to her friends. Where'd she learn it from? If she's going to stay at home, are you really going to blame me? Yeah, well, of course you are. You're going to blame me. Now, I can say, I didn't know she was listening to it. Well, I'm not that typical kind of parent because I'm going to, like I said, I'm the type of parent that would show up at your locker unannounced and do locker check. I'll do car check. So you should know that I'm going to check around and see what you're doing and what you're listening to. Parents, you have to take responsibility. We do. We absolutely do.
What's your thought?
The issue I have with that is that I don't really consider it just fault-finding. I think that it's just reality that, you know, it's something that, you know, is normal and that we have to deal with because of the outside influence, whether if it's media or whatever. I just think that we just need to find a better positive way of getting these kids' attention and show them that there are other ways in dealing with, you know, what society has to offer, because it's really bad out here now. And like I was saying earlier about the violence, I just feel like we just have to continue staying prayerful and sticking close to our youth, I mean, no matter what. And the only thing we basically really can do nowadays is, you know, talking to them. I don't know if I have an answer to that.
Well, you had a thought, and that thought was what you shared could be impactful to some. So to answer all the questions, to answer it, actually, it's really a broad thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're on the right, you know, we're on the right track with just opening up the thought, the airwaves of trying to, you know, make a change in it. So it's just my opinion. John?
I just think the kids, man, I really can't speak so much about kids because I don't have any kids because I'm not an expert in that field.
That area.
But in that area, yeah. Because one thing I can say is just that I know one point in time, I contribute to some of the kids in my neighborhood the way they looked at me over my years of I carried myself and conducted myself. At one point in time, I was doing some things that shouldn't have been did around some kids. Now, I look back 20 years, I mean, say about 10 years later at my life, and I made a change in my life. And I see some of the kids doing some things. You don't really want to just punch a finger at the kid and just make the child feel bad for something that you kind of help contribute to. You got to find a way to say, well, then, you know, you got to be understanding with your kids. And give them a chance to, to develop their mind. And they're going to make mistakes. People are going to make mistakes. And kids are going to make a lot of mistakes because their mind is running wild. And they're trying to learn about life. And sometimes they do things and make mistakes. Just be there to try to support the kids and let them know that, you know, it's not the right way of doing things and try to just be supportive to the kids. But I think music today, I think in the industry now, I think the kids, if you can take the beat, kids listen to music. And that's the only way that you're going to be able to get your message out there to the kids to start changing their mindset or mind frame. If you can take the beat, get a dope beat, and just put some lyrics in there that is what happened in their life, but put it in a positive way in which they doesn't realize you got their attention. Got the undivided attention in a way. I think that's what the artists gonna have to do in the future, try to reach the kids and make a change in some of this music.
All right. I'll tell you like this. We're getting ready to take a short break in a few minutes. But before we go to break, I do want to say this, and the show ends at 10, guys, by the way. Before we go to break, I do want to say this. Shanique brought up something earlier about the CD. What you put on that CD is pretty much your resume of your life. What you're gonna do, and if you were gonna put that on there, and then you let's say you fast forward, like you just said, John, you back in the days you was a contributor. If you was to fast forward it to your future, what would you want people to think and say about you? When we come back, let's talk about that. I thought it was an interesting perspective. Thank you, Shanique, because it was valuable. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be back in just a moment. And this is Poetic. This is me back in the days. Y'all stay with us. The name of this tune is Life Goes On, Riding Dirty Remix.
Everywhere I put on. mercy on me. The day the time comes, Lord, can you please forgive me for the crimes I committed? Or will I be condemned cause I did it? I admit I've done a lot of wrong in life with all my might, trying to turn my wrong to right. But lately I've been losing the fight, cause see time is against me. And every point I turn, death is out to get me. I know you're with me, don't let them get me. I try to run, run, but I can't hide. I got a good vibe down on my inside. Give me a sign, correct me if I'm wrong. I got a feeling I ain't gonna be around too long.
Between the park card, I have my mask in love. Ain't no way they gon' do me like OJ, don't even walk past me, love. Don't live here no more, I kick that thing to the curbing. I done down the six pack, make that thing go click clack. Now I'm drinking some bourbon, oh, he just swerving. And I always talk about smoke something. Told you couldn't mess with this, what's up, I heard you a specialist. With heaters that make preachers wanna go.
So I'm at the show, there ain't no fight. You know I'm known for riding dirty in mind. In case I see somebody slipping, cause I'm robbing them blind. Where can I find poetic at, man, I'm about to leave on site. I can see my Chevy not sitting on D's and pipe.
About it, no hesitation, just don't ask me why.
To get your music heard, Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
Hip Hop National is now hiring interns and salespeople. Call us today at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555 for more details.
All right, guys. Use the platform for what it is. Sponsor the show. Get your pro music promoted right here in front of our online audience. By you doing so, we will give you something in exchange for doing so. We will promote you accordingly to our program. But our program is really about getting this information out. If you want to be highlighted in here and tell the world your story, we're giving you that opportunity. Call us at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. We want to hear from you so we can make things happen in your with you and your music. Shanique, you opened up the topic, and what was your thoughts about my song anyway? Did you like it?
I liked the beat.
You liked the beat, so you ain't like the lyrics?
I did. You know, I did. It was not hardcore like I say I really don't like. But
yeah,
I did like it.
All right, that was me and my cousins back in the days, and yeah, that's when the music did really had a message. But
yeah,
I just wanted to get your opinion. Anyway, you opened up the topic about the CD situation.
Right.
You know, if you was to put your story or your music on a CD fast, and you was to fast forward it to the future, what would you want people to say about you? Let me more of your thoughts as you was exploring that thought.
More of like right now, when somebody put their CD, when they would put my CD in their car, it's going to make your soul really feel smooth. It's going to enlighten you. It's going to deliver you a message. It's going to be questions to your mind. It's saying, is that what I really need in my life? What have I been missing in my life? And how can I get this in my life? It's going to definitely leave you the music that I would fast forward. And after you get out, you're still going to be humming it. Then you're going to hum it to somebody else. And you're going to hum it so loud that they're going to want to know, where did you get that from? And who's that about? So my music will be a music that definitely will get a word around. It will be one of that is of soul searching and forgiveness and cleansing of your own heart and reaching out to make a change to where you say, at the end of the song, you have to question yourself. It's either going to make you enlighten you or make you want to do better in your life that you see that you're missing.
Well, see, that's what, don't get me wrong. That's what I was saying. I think we think like that because of our maturity level. The kids today, they're living in the moment. They feel that, hey, this is what I want to do now. I ain't thinking about the future.
Right. Now, back in the day, now, if we were to rewind me way back in the day, like I said, I was I absolutely love going out. I was a party girl, but I was the type of party girl to where
you sound like you still like the party. What are you talking about?
I mean, I do. Remember, I told you my boyfriend was 25, right? So
oh, okay.
I'm not ready to. I'll be 46 in a couple of months, so I'm, you know, like right around the corner. So I'm not your. I'm mature, and I've seen, you know, some positive things in life. And to say that I'm through learning means to say somebody that's given up because you learn every single day, and I'm on a different level of a career change to say what I want to do the next level in my life. I do. I love. I'm an entertainer, so I love being around entertaining people, and that is. You know how sometimes you say once it's kind of with you, you don't hardly like shake it off that much. But now if you was to rewind me, like back in the 80s, yes, I was that girl who was not home on Friday. I was not home on Saturday. Because I was out.
And if you had to wrap your story up on a CD back in the day as a writer, story writer, you know, a songwriter, my question is, what kind of language you would have put back on there?
Oh, I was a clean. Now I was still clean cut. Now it was
embedded in
you. It was a clean cut party. It was a clean cut kind of party girl. You know where. If I had to wrap my story up, it would still be somebody that energized you, that you like going out with. I wasn't boring. I'll put it to this way. I wasn't I wasn't in the drunk crowd, nor was I in the smoking crowd.
Don't get me wrong. Today, that's what these kids are into. They into that. And then it's almost like not cool to be. Ty, what's your thoughts?
I think I'm still thinking about what Shanique said. Can I pass on that one?
yeah, you can. I'll come back to you.
Okay.
I'll come back to you. John, what's your thought, sir?
what I think is, like you said, the kids is in the moment today. It's in the look I would like to represent me right now is be that, you know, a lot of kids think that fear is respect. But if we can get them to make them see that respect is fear. You know, if you respect somebody, you're going to fear not to hurt their feelings or do something to them to disrespect them. So we need to get the kids today to understand what respect really means today. I think that's the biggest problem. I think that was some of your lyrics. You said something about some respect. I wasn't quite sure. I couldn't hear it all. And your old song, what you were saying about respect. And that's the problem with kids. Because they think fear is respect, and they won't respect some people, but they reacting out the wrong way to get it. If we can put it in music today and you know, put some respectful things in the music, and teach the kids, to that respect is fear, not fear. And I think that's the biggest thing that's going on with the kids today because they're living in this moment. Because that's everything, what they do. You see them fighting in school. Every time you turn around to the news on, they fighting in school, fighting each other. You go on YouTube, you always see they uploading fights about this, about that. I think the kids is crying out and trying to reach out for some respect. But they don't know how to go about getting it and stuff like that.
Well, the thing it is, okay, now, I kind of really like this question. I wanted to wrap my head around that, and I give you guys my thoughts. Well, I think I've always said that music is meant to be heard and not silenced. When it comes to your marketability in music today, if there's any more point in time that the radio has to be turned down, that's that moment in time that your music is being missed out on. Merely because of how you position the words in the song. And that might be that particular moment that an executive may have had, you may have had an executive attention, but you lost that executive's attention merely because you didn't position your song in the right position on your CD. Often that time, or you got everything on your CD. You may have all the talent in the world. Actually, I actually plugged in a CD the other day. Love the guy's vocals. I think he had the vocal quality. I think he did a good job as in the sense of the production. But when it came to lyrical content, I mean, I couldn't go through that. I couldn't sit in the car and just listen to it. And I know that my grandchildren get in the car, or my mother, my mother-in-law, those people I hold high regards for. And if I can't play a person's music on that accord, then I think they're missing the boat. Because right now in this industry, Hip Hop National is making a mark. I'm on the front line of this. And everything I come across, you know, me personally, I know I'm making connections. I'm touching lives out there, and I'm touching some good lives and good connection with some great people who can probably take a project to another level. So my thing is, if you want to connect with like-minded people like myself or other people in this industry, you need to have two types of songs. If that's what you want to do, you need to know how to position your song in the right place, and then you have to think with the mindset of what this song, what my music is going to do for me 20 years from now. Is this the same message I want to deliver to my children? Do I want to deliver it to my do I want my mom to hear? Do 20 years from now, like John said, he changed his life. Now, what he's looking back on is still, at the same time, he can ask for forgiveness, but it's very hard. Don't get me wrong, and John, I'm going to come to you in a minute. Don't get me wrong. It's very hard to ask for forgiveness when you made a hit record around the world telling everybody, go F the world. I mean, you may ask for it, you may get it, but how many other people have you influenced to say that same thing? John, I'm coming to you.
Well, yeah, I don't see too many people out there saying that about that. You know, yeah, I haven't seen too many people say anything about that.
About what? I mean, be clear.
Because, like I say, that's what's selling and everything.
Yeah, that's, it is what's selling.
That's just what's selling right now. You know what I mean? You got to, you know, give the people what they want. Because, like I say, you have to, today kids are, I read a lot of YouTube. People got videos and they trying to put their news out there and stuff like that. I read the comments. And I hear more of the older heads say certain thing about certain people got certain style, like they talking about that kind of old school hip hop stuff like that. You got the older heads saying, "Yeah, that's okay.
That's hot.
That's hot.
Yeah.
But like I say, the younger kids today, they just need that. So that's what's selling. That's what they're doing.
The younger kids are saying that's a whack. They've come to a new level of music, what they've come to expect and hear. And don't get me wrong, all of it to me, and I may be wrong, but it's beginning to all sound the same. There's no individuality in the originality. That's what it's coming to. And my fear is because of the originality and the individuality of the music itself, it's going to eventually come to a head. It's going to bust and plummet and fall down. R&B, don't get me wrong, R&B, everybody loved it. I was in love with R&B, and I'm still in love with it, to tell you the truth. But, I mean, reality, is it a front runner now? Are we going to do the same thing to hip-hop? I personally don't. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Do you think we're going to end up doing the same thing to hip-hop if it's all come to one common ground? I'm asking you, Shanique.
I think it will. I don't think you can. My personal opinion is I don't think you should make it one common ground. I mean, we're not one common people.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's not thinking the same. So for me to say, you know, hip-hop only needs to be this kind of music, no, absolutely not. My point is I think everybody has their own individuality. Everybody has their own taste. And it's up to you as to what you want to hear. And it's up to you as to what you want your children to hear. Now, should I say it's because – How would I feel if the radio station I listen to, if they were to say, you know, all radio stations just got to be rock? You know, you just got to be this certain kind of rock. Am I going to like that? Absolutely not. I want to know that there is a diversity that I can listen to. And like I said, and I love hip-hop, but I only like certain forms of hip-hop. I'm just not hardcore hip-hop. Now, I'll listen to the beat. And again, you heard me, you know, I'll even talk about how I can listen to the same artist song but in an uncut version because I like the beat that's going on. Remember, I'm a girl who likes to go out and dance. So it's all about beat is important to me. And a lot of times children, because I've heard plenty of teenagers say, you know, I say, how can you listen to it? And I'm like, well, I really don't listen to the words. I'm listening to the beat. And then, you know, when I ask a lot of them, well, sit down and actually listen to what they're saying. And then there's some rappers, you know, I guess they rap so hard, you know, fast, maybe you can't hear the lyrics. But when I say, well, listen to what they're listening to. And I've heard so many times, it's like, I like the beat. Now, there's some country music. I like the beat, but because I'll never forget the song she was singing about, Redneck Woman. I loved the beat of that song, but I did not like the lyrics. Something about redneck just threw me off. Now, if I had never heard the title, if I had never heard her sing those lyrics, I love that beat, and I would have played that in my CD player. But it's all about the words that mean a lot to me. So like you said, if you can bleep up the words, if you can have a clean-cut version for me, I like it. No, I shouldn't say everything should be the same. Absolutely not.
Exactly. Hip-hop was born, and the birth of hip-hop was really born on being able to tell your individual story.
It is.
Well, I'm not here to conform anybody to my way of thinking, but I can tell you like this, and this particular boat, you know, everybody got their own ship. This is my ship. If you're bringing on my show, I want your clean version, and then I want to be content conscious, because I have a level of people that I want to bring on here. This is not the environment for you to bring your foul language if you want to do it. However, this is an environment to promote and market you. And I have all kinds of people. I've had major industry insiders come on. Just to name a few, America's Got Talent been here. Universal, people from there, Def Jam, Capitol Records. That's just to name a few. And then at the same time, I have pastors that comes on to do it. So at Hip Hop National, it's got to be some kind of middle ground. And I want to be seen as that middle ground, because really it's not about the music for me. It's about helping one mind at a time, one child at a time, understand that they have an intellectual property that they're dealing with. That intellectual property is valuable, carries weight in the marketplace that can turn into money.
Mm-hmm.
So it can help you make music and make money. The whole purpose of this program is to teach you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. That's why we do this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All the time.
Right.
John? What's your thoughts on what Shanique was saying?
Well,
just give me your final thoughts of the night. Give me your final thoughts of this whole topic tonight.
It's a very deep topic, but it's a topic that needs to be expressed. And I like the point you just made about that. You want to be the middleman and try to bring some changes to the music and stuff like that, and to change the kid's mind. So that's a very thing. That's a very important thing to me, is to develop the kid's mind, because I got some artists, which that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, John, I can help you with that. It is a sponsor program in doing so. But, John, I like to help get that music out there. You get these kids, let these kids know that they have an avenue where music could be heard. Reality is I'm getting ready to go back into playing at least an hour of music on our program in the upcoming weeks. I've been kind of focused on just doing the topics. But this program is a program that will support music, and that there'll be some aspects of, they'll get a chance to send some of that music in on a contest, a platform. So we'll play it based on them winning that contest, and that's Jam It or Slam It.
All right.
Okay. So, I mean, it is still in the background. I'm just right now, I'm focused on driving these topics home to our youth. That's why it's been kind of sticking in that area for a minute. Shanique, give me your final thoughts of the evening.
My final thoughts of the evening. I'm an old school parent, and I really believe that to make a positive change as a parent, it starts with the household to make a positive change. I mean, I know I talk about my children a lot, but to give examples, I just have to give examples of me growing up and how I instilled it in my daughter. And like I said, you know, we listened to my parents' choice of music growing up. And when I got older to go away, I could listen to my choice of music. But I never became whelmed and listened to something that focused on degrading topics or anything that just seemed devouring or anything, because that was not me. This was not what I had within me. And true enough, when I talk about that, you know, I went out, it was still clean-cut fun. And when I was exposed to somebody else and what their clean-cut fun was, and I saw how the same artist could play different versions of music, and how it changed personalities. with just different lyrics and words. So you just have to ask yourself, who am I trying to mainstream? Who am I trying to reach? And what is my music supposed to be doing? And as an artist, who are you trying to reach? And at the end of the day, your music is what you're known as. And at the end of the day, if something was to happen to me, again, if we have to think now, what's in your CD player? And that's the topic I tell a lot of people, what's in your CD player? I think your most favorite CD tends to be the one that pops in the most, and that's the defiance of your character. And so what's your character and who are you trying to reach with it? My character, and for me, like I said, the CD that I'm going to produce, it's a CD that I want my daughter, who's 20, to be able to listen to it and be proud of it. My mother's going to be proud of it. And most of all, I'm going to be proud of it because I want to think in my life that I can make a change in something that I'm doing to somebody that's going to hear my music. So I need to be a productive person. And who do I want to reach? What do I want to do? It's all about my CD and my life. And mine is positive.
Cool. Thank you, Shanique. I really appreciate you coming in. John, I appreciate you chiming in and giving your thoughts. And Nate was here earlier, and Ty was here earlier, and they both have checked out for the evening. But I thank both of you guys as well. You made for a great show for tonight. Hip Hop National is in the business of advertising, guys. We are an advertising firm. We are here to help the artists enhance their music market ability. So we build their marketing portfolio right here on Hip Hop National Radio alongside us as we are growing in this marketplace. If you want to know more, you get a great package right here that we now have on sale here till tomorrow night. It will go up thereafter. If you're listening in now, make sure you call us at 877-580-8555. And I'm going to give you my direct line. You can call me at 954-461-3398. Again, 954-461-3398. You can lock me in. I am poetic. We want to connect the dots with you and your music right here. Again, guys, tonight's was still it was sponsored in part by Live Lime Records. That's what we do. You see, he sponsored the show, and he's gonna get his play for doing so, because that's what we're about. We need your help. We need your support. Stay with us, guys. I know that someone's going to call in before tomorrow and sponsor this show. Thank you. Have a good night. Good night, everybody. Here's OJL with his song Rising.
Yo, you know it's your boy OJL representing for the sickest, the maddest, the baddest radio station on the planet, you know? And that's Hip Hop National Radio. So just keep in tune and don't touch your dial. You get me? I say sick. Mud.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, no. Them seminar reach nowhere. But look where I am now. Seminar reach nowhere. But my hold me head up high. Them seminar where I am now, seminar reach no, but my reach up until again. Yeah. I remember when me just starting, them tell me song no make no sense and sound and all you know. I never let my mind get me down, I always keep my focus and keep on doing my thing now. Time passed by and me improved, my biggest motivation was a big boo. I know you are my dead, but me forgive you. Yeah, I want to live too. Thanks to all the fans them who believe in me. And even ones who love me, yes, them leaving me. I know you are my past, but fans and you my cause. Now I taste the dream of me above.